Hi everyone, and welcome back to Ezeoku Speaking Truths. In today's episode, we meet a team of people that come together to embark on a journey of discovery as they unpack a suitcase and explore the complex histories and themes therein. Welcome to the story of the mysterious suitcase. On the 27th of January, 2021, Anna Briongos, a Barcelona-based writer, got in touch with Azunwak Bogu, a curator and the founder and director of African Artists Foundation in Nigeria. Anna had a very interesting story to share with Azu, the story of a mysterious suitcase. The suitcase belonged to Prince Emmanuel Adewale Oyenuga, a Nigerian artist and photographer who lived in Barcelona in the 1960s. Anna's mother, Luisa, met Prince Oyenuga when he was a student at the prestigious Escuela Massana School of Fine Arts in Barcelona, and they developed a close friendship. 3 years later, Emmanuel and his wife Elizabeth decided to leave Barcelona for London. Before leaving, he entrusted a closed trunk to Luisa for safekeeping. Luisa and Anna never heard from Prince Oyenuga or his family ever again. What became of Prince Oyenuga and his wife Elizabeth? What did Luisa do with the trunk? And what significance does the story have today? The material found in the suitcase points to different social and cultural moments in the history of Nigeria and beyond. It touches on the Nigerian Civil War, the cultural ties between Nigeria and Spain, the legacy of the artist, the story of immigration, Nigerian studio photography of the 70s, and first and foremost, it touches on restitution. Join us as we talk through the significance of Prince Oyenuga's suitcase, its contents, their far-reaching impact, and the individuals who come together to resuscitate the memory of Prince Oyenuga. First, let's hear from Anna Briongos herself.
The story is that a student, an artist and photographer, Nigerian, arrived to Barcelona with a scholarship to study in an art school. And then he met my mother there. She was a student too, but she was an old woman. And she liked to invite her students at home. And then this Prince Adewale, Emmanuel Adewale Oyenuga, was coming at home for lunch very often. So when he had his wife with him and they were living in Barcelona in a very humble situation, they were good friends of us, and we were helping them as much as we could. And then a big friendship started between all of us, my brother and myself. We were young, we were students at the university, and we used to go to discotheques with them and for dancing, and my mother didn't know these excursions to the red areas of the city. But finally, the couple decide to go to London in search for a better life, and they left a big trunk, big suitcase, with all their belongings, the very important ones, I think. And they said that they would come back to pick it up. But they never, they wrote 2 or 3 letters from London, but we didn't know anything about them anymore. So this suitcase was kept in a place in my mother's home, and we forgot about it. When my mother was 96 years old, she had to leave her house, and she had to get rid of her her many of her things, and then this trunk appeared again, and she wanted to open it. It was locked. Then we made a kind of ceremony to open this suitcase after 50 years. And then we could see inside so many things that were very important for this, for Emmanuel and his wife. There were hundreds of photos, many records, and long plays and singles, many, many letters written in English and in Yoruba. Then we didn't know what to do with it. My mother wanted to give it back to the to Emmanuel, and she wrote letters to the to all the addresses she found in the envelopes, but no answer arrived from these letters. So I finally found Azu, and Azu was very surprised about this story, and he answered back my email, and then all this research started, and my aim is to find the family and give it back to them, but if we can't do it, it should come back to Nigeria. I don't know. We are looking about it, thinking about what to do with it.
In June 2020, Anna got in touch with Dr. Carmen Perez Gonzalez, a freelance photography historian, lecturer, and curator based in Germany. She sought her advice on what to do with the large collection of photographs and letters. Was it worth exploring this collection further? And how could she continue the work of finding Prince Oyanuga and returning the collection back to Nigeria? Let's hear from Carmen.
So the beginning of my story with this the suitcase, the mysterious suitcase is, well, I know Anna for more than 20 years. And so we are personal friends, and she contacted me in one of our personal conversations. Look, I have this material, and well, I have tried everything to find the family, also Luisa, her mother, who I also get to know. And I don't really know what to do with that. I would like to, I know that this is precious material, but I don't know what to do. Do you think this is interesting? And then she started sending photos, and I was completely, yeah, crazy. I said, of course, it's extremely interesting. Not the whole story behind that, no, that Anna already explained, but also the material. No? And the more I start looking at the photographs, I was impressed by the content of the images, and also by the richness of the different photographers that were taking the photographs. So as a photo historian, I really like to order chaos in the archives. So I just start getting all the information that you could read off from the photographs, trying very consciously not to pollute that reading. So I was not intervening or anything, just reading off what the photos were telling us. And by doing so, we got to get a list of 12, 13 different photo studios. And then the curiosity was, where were these photo studios in Lagos and in Barcelona? So we start looking through Google Maps to find addresses of the studios or whatever. We didn't find that many, but then we thought, let's get an old map from that time from Laos, 1962, and then we start searching for where the studios were located. And that was very interesting. They were located, the most important ones, within walking distance from the house of Emmanuel Oyenua.
Together, Anna and Carmen began to document the addresses they found in this very personal collection, in an attempt to reach out and see if anyone was still in touch with Prince Oyanuga, his wife Elizabeth, or any extended members of their family. Anna wrote to these addresses, and by the end of the summer 2020, she still had not heard back from them. Over the course of the next few months, Anna and Carmen continued to investigate the history of photography in Nigeria and the history of Lagos's photo studios, with the aim of creating a map of 1960s Lagos to get a sense of Prince Oyanuga's movements at that time. It was at the stage that Anna was put in touch with Azinwag Bogu, the founder and director of the African Artists Foundation and Lagos Photo, for further assistance. Anna emailed Azu in early 2021, and he's finally introduced to the story of Prince Oyanuga.
So on the 26th of January, 2021, I received this email from Anna Briongos, and it was so well articulated and so well written that I was moved and convinced that it had something special about it, that it was something to be curious about. As you know, if you work in the sort of industry and you work in the museum especially, it's not unusual to receive an email about the collection that people think is worthy, or they want to bring into the museum or to be archived or to be researched upon, that is usually related to a family archive. But this email felt very different, and I thought every single sentence in the email was well thought through. And I just had an instinctive feeling that this was something to be curious about and to dive into, especially because we had just launched the whole museum a few months prior to receiving this email. And the whole museum was a democratic way of inviting citizens, civic engagement, to deal with the high-level conversation around restitution. So I thought this email felt like an extension to the conversation, or like another open call that we had just received. So yeah, so as you know, we got the email in January 2021, and it was, you know, deep in the lockdown. I believe I was in Berlin or Amsterdam at the time. And I was in Amsterdam, and we couldn't travel to Barcelona to go see the archive. And I just recently had completed or involved Maurice in a project that we've been talking about, a very particular project. And I thought, wow, okay, we've got Maurice out there in Barcelona. Maybe he can go check it out for us. Yeah. And now we all know each other very well. But at the time, you know, you still retain a little bit of curiosity, and you want to nail Admirari, keep your excitement a little bit check. So Maurice went out there, we spoke about it. I believe he was there within a couple of days at Anna's home, getting, you know, his fingers dirty, looking through the archive, really sinking his teeth into the archive, and sharing pictures on WhatsApp with us. And, you know, he quickly created a group. We created a WhatsApp group. We created a Google Drive document. And we were so excited to see the images and to begin to understand how important this archive was, especially given the conversation and our interest in the grand topic of restitution. We felt this was another way of thinking about restitution on a more human level, on a more democratic, civic level. And this was just like almost like manna from heaven for us, because of the moral opportunities to have this conversation and the ethical considerations as well as the intellectual. I believe Carmen already elucidated some of the incredible findings that we had from the archive, the way to think about the history of that period that is so little understood on the continent, and in particular in Nigeria. So this was a really important project and an extremely important archive to get into. So yeah, that's how deep we went in January 2021. And then obviously Maurice has done his job, and a few months after, in August 2021, Adi and I were able to travel to Barcelona to see the archive ourselves. So I'll let Maurice, you know, share his own part of the story, because he actually saw the archive before myself and Azia and the team in Lagos.
Moritz Nermüller is a curator, educator, and writer in the field of photography and new media. Let's hear from Moritz about his experience of the archive.
I feel very honored, and it's a privilege for me to be part of this by pure coincidence, I would say, because it was really because of the lockdown and the impossibility of ASIA and ASU to come to Barcelona at that time that I had the possibility to know, and I would say even to become friends with Anna nearly immediately in this fascinating journey. So yeah, when I got the email from ASU, we were working on another project together. And he said, aren't you based in Barcelona? And I was, yeah, so can you, you know, do me a favor? And I was like, okay, what is it? And then it was actually a favor was for me. And I had the privilege to go to Anna's house, as has been said, and she took out the suitcase from under her bed. And we opened it, and together with my collaborator, Veronica Los Santos, we just tried to document what we saw with this non-pollution paradigm that Carmen has explained and maybe even set up for this as a methodology for the suitcase, that we would not mix or made ourselves noticed. Of course, Anna and her mother had already opened this suitcase several times, so it, some things might have been changed around, but nonetheless, we tried to keep it as much as possible in this order. So we just made this very basic structure of the suitcase, the letters, the photos, other materials, kind of a database that already existed from Carmen, the investigation process, the making of. We wanted to document already what we were doing, possible press interaction, or such as, you know, a press or whatever, publication, of course, maybe a book, maybe an exhibition and presentations as we're doing today. The letters, I think there's more than 100 letters that we scanned in, and then some of them were translated from Yoruba and some were just transcribed from English as they were. So we made the structure, as I said, just as we found it. So there, for example, we found the brown envelope, a brown portfolio and so on. We just described what we found. And then we photographed one by one of these sheets in the brown portfolio, always saying, okay, number one, number two, number three, just as we found it, so that we could later on refer to these when we are talking over email, because most of our interactions has really been via Zoom, via email, and working on the same materials.
Picture, if you can, for a moment, a collection of well-preserved photo albums of varying sizes, envelopes filled with images and negatives that carry so much history. Stacks upon stacks of black and white photographs of different people, either in the studio or out and about. Stuck into the brown-stained pages of these albums, the sitters are dressed immaculately and look comfortably into the camera, daring the viewer with the confidence of their gaze. A young man dressed in the black silk gown and horsehair wig of a barrister stares into the camera, exuding poise and a sense of self-assuredness. A young woman dressed in a black and white traditional dress with an elaborate black head wrap smiles softly, the letters RIP written in red ink at the bottom of the photograph. Images upon images, a capsule of a moment in time. Now let's engage with Berlin-based curator Asia Yagmurian as she shares her introduction to Prince Oyanuga and explains the value of his archive.
So I've been working with African Artists Foundation and Azwan Wakboko on the previous edition of the Lagos Photo 2020, which was called Home Museum. To keep the long story short, through the Home Museum, we tried to spark citizens' interest in the subject of restitution through engaging them in the conversation through the medium of photography. And we've asked them to send to us or to share with us
what they would like to share with the world in terms of the collection and the most precious and dearest objects that they would always carry with them. We always presented these objects in the collection, never in separation. And we were always joking back then that basically we were asking people to send us what will fit in a suitcase. So receiving this email 2 months later was a great surprise and probably a great reward. So we had a kind of an actual case that we could learn through and move towards the direction of how can we fill in some gaps in the history, like tangible and intangible ones, through memories. And as Moritz has already said, like it's what fascinated me in the very first beginning when I looked at the suitcase is, of course, the relation between private and public and the memories, but like the importance of the preservation and the idea of, as we've discovered, he was invited to study at Escola Massana in Barcelona on a special scholarship given by the Ministry of Information and Culture in Nigeria. And he arrived in Barcelona with the suitcase already, which was a big archive of studio photography, as Carmen and Moritz have already mentioned. And the intentionality of preserving the archive, building up on it, that's what interests me. Also from a perspective of the artistic strategies, yes, how do we deal with the artistic capital that one creates? How do we pass it to the future generations?
Due to the work done by Anna, Carmen, Azu, Moritz, Asia, and the team at AAF, a groundwork has been laid. A timeline has been created through the dates and locations on the letters and on the photographs. It has become clearer to trace Prince Oyanuga's steps and have a better sense of the gravity of this collection, this archive. Prince Oyanuga's photos and letters give us a glimpse into not just his life, but into a moment in history. So where do we go from here? What are the next steps in finding Prince Oyanuga or his family? And what finally becomes of this archive?
It really felt like super exciting, like we're going to find the prince or his family or descendants very quickly and very easily, because we had so much material. I'm a Lagosian myself, and I'm born here, grew up here for most of my life. So I didn't think it would be difficult to find descendants. And, you know, we had enough clues. And the suitcase had enough information for us to find something, you know. And then today we've got social media, we've got a platform on Facebook called available to us called the Nigerian Nostalgia Project, and they've got like a huge following as well. So we really felt confident that we'd get there. And then, you know, because the name is such a quite a common name, and also not common enough for you to have lead, but not so common that it's impossible to find an individual that had such a distinguished set of history. So we really felt that we're going to find the prince, and we made every effort to do so. But what, from my own personal perspective, I always felt like the closer we got to finding the prince and finding anyone who knew something about him, the closer we got to it, then at the point where we feel really about to make that contact, there's a disappearing act occurs. And that made me extra curious and extra, maybe even concerned. But then I decided to change the focus of my own logic. And I thought maybe, well, the question is very important. And I know for Anna and her family, you know, the return to the family is, you know, sine qua non. But for me, at that stage where I felt like, well, we really exhausted all of our leads, I just thought the project and the process itself and the ethical considerations around the project and the doing in itself became even more interesting to me. And then I really made a note of informing everyone within the team to say, listen, we have to be super conscious of all of the moral considerations around this project, and also to be very awake to all of the things that we can learn from the project that we can share, and to always put it at the forefront of consideration and methodology that we were going to be completely open and transparent in the way we dealt with the project. So that's from my perspective, how the quest has, the investigation and the detective work has been so far.
Just recently, Anna, Moritz, and Asia were able to travel to Lagos and join the AAF team in presenting the project to the public in Lagos, in part to share the story, to involve people in the process of deciphering the appropriate next steps, and also in the hopes of maybe finding Prince Oyenuga's home or in finding extended family.
I would like to say that really it has been very difficult to find these people. I don't know why, but I also think that Asia, Moritz, and myself in Lagos as a white people going on the streets trying to find a family was, I don't know, maybe insane. Trying to find the address of the family Oyenuga. And finally, they found it. The house was there.
They finally found Prince Oyenuga's house. Unfortunately, they were not successful in contacting someone who would have more information on him or his family's whereabouts. Azu, though, reflects on how this journey was an important one for Anna and the team as the custodians of this archive.
It's a trusted process. I thought the process was super important as a way of treating the responsibility of return. You know, it's beholden on the custodian to do everything within their power to do the right thing. And I thought by you going out there with, you know, in the heat, in the traffic, doing it yourself in Lagos was an honest gesture, even more meaningful than, you know, anything else you had done before then. You know, so I thought, you know, it was really, really significant, and a lot of credit to you and to Asia and to Moritz, you know, for getting down to do this. I thought it was really wonderful.
Asia shares with us the next steps on the search and the team's plans for the collection as a whole.
I think that the best thing in this story is that we never had an exact, sealed, concrete plan that we would follow. And we are deciding on our steps, like following the journey. And what we have already done is that we have also introduced one of the main also objectives and reasons for Anna, Moritz, and I to go to Lagos, Nigeria was also recently, because we've just returned back, was also to introduce the story to the citizens of Lagos and to have their reaction and feedback and to have to establish a dialogue with the people to the community to which Prince Emmanuel Adewale belonged to. And probably also to learn from the culture that he belonged to and to listen to the people, what would be their advice in the direction that we should move forward. As we have discussed with Azu, we will construct the next edition of the Lagos photo, which will open in the beginning of November 2022 on the story of the suitcase. while looking at the photographic material, we've noticed that lots of people on the images were crossed out or had a little note done later, probably by Prince himself, like with RIP. And like, as Azu is saying, the period of Prince Emmanuel Adewale Enugu being in Barcelona and the Nigerian civil war coincides. So he probably was making a record of his friends and comrades who passed away during the war. We might also talk about like the artistic legacy, about memory, and probably we will definitely commission artists, intellectuals, writers to respond to this story in a performative or in their own artistic way.
Thank you for joining us on this journey to learn more about Prince Emmanuel Adewale Onyenuga. We're excited in the coming episodes to look more closely at his artistic practice, the historical context of his work, and future plans for the collection. Till next time, bye.